When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Angie Capel, Vice President of Foreign Exchange at Associated Bank. Angie, welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me back.
I want to focus our conversation first on the Consumer Price Index, one of the headline economic reports this week. It is one of the key inflation reports, and the Fed kind of looks at this very closely. They want it at 2%. Came in at what, 2.7%?
Yes, the Consumer Price Index came in at 2.7% year over year, a little bit better than expected. However, there's also core consumer price index, which excludes food and energy prices, that came in a little bit higher than expected. So I think when we're looking at consumer price index, we should look at both types of consumer price index, which many times the media reports the general and not the core index. And then when we look a little bit, you know, under the hood on, you know, the different components of the consumer price index, there can be different stories there.
Yes, because the one, you look at it from the headline view, looks good. It looks like a positive. But if you look deeper into the report, you see that there are imported goods and other things that these tariffs are really having an impact on.
Correct, yes.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so when we're looking a little bit closer, the prices for imported goods that are subject to tariffs, such as furniture, appliances, clothing, have shown some elevation in prices. So that's telling us that the tariffs are starting slowly but surely to take hold and getting reflected in prices. So far, what a lot of importers have been doing, a lot of companies have been doing ever since really we have the new administration, they have been buying products ahead and paying for those products ahead of time. So it hasn't really cycled through the economy yet. But now we're seeing some signs that that is coming.
Yeah, and because you can stock up a little bit, but you can't stock up for the whole year, right?
Correct, yeah.
And so what you see is going to be unfolding over the next several months. I know we have more reports on inflation coming. Do you expect those to be higher, see higher inflation with those?
You know, Steve, with the latest announcements on tariffs that just went into effect last week on August 7th against about 66 countries, I don't see how it couldn't reflect, you know, being seen in prices. I mean, so far, like I said, the retailers have been buying ahead. Maybe some of the tariffs that we started seeing earlier, starting in April, they've been holding the prices so far and eating the cost of the tariffs. But eventually, I don't know how retailers, manufacturers, you know, can cover all these tariffs all themselves and not pass them on to consumers.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the National Retail Federation has sort of sounded the alarm on this, saying that we are going to start seeing higher prices, and it's going to start impacting as we head into a couple of busy buying seasons. One of them is school supplies coming up, clothing, and then one of the others is Christmas, which is just right around the corner.
Absolutely, yes, I mean, It's still a little, I mean, nobody really can put an exact timeline, you know, on how much and by when, but in my opinion, you know, there's no way around it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Angie, President Trump says, I saw him say yesterday that this is bringing in millions and billions of dollars into the U.S. Treasury. Talk to us a little bit about that part of the story. Is the U.S. making money on all of this?
Sure, there is revenue that's generated that goes into Treasury. The tariffs are housed in the Treasury Department. Mm-hmm. We still don't know what's going to happen with that money. I mean, in my opinion, maybe that should be actually used as a positive spin of the whole story, that we are generating more revenue. But then we also had some of the new tax bills and tax cuts that are adding to the debt. So not an expert here on public debt servicing of our finances.
A good budget plan might be to start paying down some of that debt.
That certainly would be a responsible approach, yes.
So let's jump to interest rates. There is some betting now that we will finally see an interest rate cut coming up in September. What's the betting on that?
So the latest I've seen on Bloomberg, which is was a survey of about 50 or 60 different banks that I read yesterday, was that there's a 90% chance of a 25% rate cut at the next meeting in September, September 17th. With later in October, 60% of another 25% cut. And then down the road in December, we have another meeting. Opinions are split on what we're going to be seeing there. Of course, there have been calls, like from the Treasury Secretary today. We should be seeing more aggressive cuts because, you know, the consumer price index was kind of tame. So we've seen some of that. So we'll see, you know. So far, the Fed is still independent. So.
Treasury Secretary Bessent said that he expects a 50 basis points cut in September. You think that's higher than what's actually going to happen?
Well, Steve, I mean, the Fed's target of inflation is 2%. Even if you use the headline number of the CPI, it's 2.7. That's still above their target. Giving Chairman Powell's and the FOMC's decisions this year and last year, they've been on the conservative side because their mandate is to maintain price stability. So I'd rather err on the side of the 25%.
Am I reading too much into what you're saying? I'm hearing maybe there might not be a cut at all. Is that's possible too, right?
It's possible, but the probability of all the surveys right now that are out there are favoring, most people, economists are favoring, you know, an interest rate cut. So I wouldn't bet against that. You know?
And this, if we do have two rate cuts before the end of the year, that's sort of in line with all of the predictions this year was that we would see these two rate cuts.
Two or three,
So if we do have two or three by the end of the year, how's that going to impact the economy? How's that going to impact markets?
Well, it's going to, they're going to be cheaper borrowing costs for businesses. And it's hopefully stimulating the economy because business of getting cheaper money. Hopefully, a lot of business owners and management is making more decisions in terms of making investments in capital equipment and new businesses and so on. But there's been a lot of that has been on hold this year because there's been all the uncertainty, you know, about the interest rate cuts. Hopefully positive for the economy. I mean, we saw in the stock market yesterday and today, stock markets have been benefiting from that outlook. So,
yeah, and I saw a couple of forecasts this week from different economists, different banks saying they expect that the target S&P price is going to be above 6,600 by the end of the year. So they're all thinking we're going to have a pretty good rest of the year.
Yes. I mean, it's good to see a lot of optimism, but, you know, as we know, right, sometimes there's unforeseen events that are happening, and it doesn't take much for the markets, you know, to take a turn. So
I want to go back to something that you just briefly said in one of the last responses about the independence of the Fed. While the Fed is still independent, are you concerned about the talk to us a little bit about the independence of the Fed? I know we have a couple of potential changes coming up. The Fed chair is out next year. There have been some interviews. I think interviews are taking place for new Fed chairman. There's a new Fed governor, I believe, that was appointed recently. Talk to us about the importance of the independence of the Fed.
Yes. So the Federal Reserve Bank is an independent institution, independent from the White House, and certainly subject to report to Congress. And there has been lately in the markets has been a lot of discussion surrounding the independence of the Federal Reserve. And as you mentioned last week, President Trump nominated a new governor for the Federal Reserve because one of the other governors resigned unexpectedly. That person still has to be confirmed by the Senate, which won't happen until early September. But when we're looking at Steve Moran, the candidate to fill the next the vacant post as a governor, he's very much in line of President Trump's view of tariffs, and also about changing the rules that the Federal Reserve can actually exercise more power. The White House can exercise more power. The president can exercise more power over the Federal Reserve. You know, such as directly hiring governors or firing governors, and getting more influence. You know, mm-hmm. about the interest rate and policies and those type of things. So that has raised some concerns in the market. There were some candidates that were mentioned for the succession of Chairman Powell. There were two of them that were mentioned last week. Both of them are also very much in line with the president's view of cutting interest rates dramatically and raising tariffs, imposing tariffs. So there's concern about political views getting, you know, transferred over the Federal Reserve, and that can be kind of problematic, right? Because if the Federal Reserve is controlled by political views, it can lead to loss of credibility, loss of investor confidence, can lead to flight of capital. There can, you know, could be pressure, you know, over the Fed by politicians, mm-hmm. you know, to keep interest rates low. You know, it's overall it's questionable, and that's something the markets are discussing right now.
Yeah, so. And are these conversations you have with your clients as well? And this is everybody sort of wants the latest information on this moving forward.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so
daily. Probably a daily conversation.
Currently, right now, yes, because we're having a new governor nominated, and we're having the succession of Chairman Powell. You know, his term ends in May of 2026, so that's an ongoing topic right now with new candidates being named daily, it seems, right mm-hmm. now. So,
I know one of the other subjects of conversation at your place was a recent report that maybe there would be a tariff on gold bars. That didn't come to fruition, but why was that so important? Why was that such a topic of concern?
Well, it was a big topic of concern because Switzerland is one of the biggest refiners of gold, and storing a lot of gold, selling gold globally, and they are now they were put under a 39% tariff. That's currently in effect. Like with the new round of tariffs, the first announcement was any imports from Switzerland 39%. But then on Monday, the president said no tariffs on gold, so we can still import our gold bars, you know, mm-hmm. at without any tariffs. Otherwise, it'd add another 39% to the gold bars that, you know, barons of gold.
gold is one of the places that people go to for safety.
Absolutely, yes, they go to for safety. Yeah, it hit actually new highs last Friday. So as there's still, you know, uncertainty mm-hmm. about the tariffs too. I mean, some of the deadlines keep getting moved, like, right, you might have read China. Yep. Got moved another 90 days. So,
yeah. How's the good old dollar doing these days?
So the dollar is still on the weaker side. As you recall, starting in March and going on into April, as all the tariff talks were accelerating and uncertainties were created in about the U.S. economy, about U.S. markets, the dollar started weakening. Investors were taking money out of U.S. investments and putting them into European investments in other countries. And we are still at those levels, at the weaker dollar levels that we've seen. It does not, from what we're looking right now, right, we're looking at interest rate cuts in the U.S., that's not beneficial for the currency, right, because investors won't get as much return.
Yeah.
So it kind of looks like it's here to stay for now.
Yeah. You know? Well, Angie, great conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
They can reach me at the trading desk at 866-524-8836, 866-524-8836, or by email, angie.kappel, K-A-P-P-E-L, at associatedbank.com.
All right, Angie, thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Steve.